This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
I'm joined in studio by Bill Emery and Victoria Dunham of the Historic Woolen Mills neighborhood, online at historicwoolenmills.org. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There is an issue that has made headlines recently, and it's a complicated issue, so we want to try to explain this and explore it as simply as possible. But, Bill, let's start with you. There's a lot of folks that are new to our community who've just moved here, may not be familiar with exactly what we mean when we say Woolen Mills. What and where is the Woolen Mills neighborhood?
Well, the Woolen Mills neighborhood is ancient by Virginia standards. Now, of course, there were Monacan Indians there for 13,000 years before there were mill hands, but it was a residential village at the foot of Monticello in a bend of the Ravana River, which was inhabited. You know, the industrial form of labor made an early debut in the Woolen Mills, and the workers at the Charlottesville Woolen Mill, which was a business run continuously under Clay Marchant's family's management for over 100 years, the workers all lived in the neighborhood. But it's not, you think, industrial mill village. It was anything but industrial. It was, these people were all farmers who basically, because of fence laws and real estate taxes and things, were pushed off the farm after the Civil War into town. And they brought all their farming habits with them. So you had a mill on this 13-acre campus on one end, and then you had basically a half a mile of this, you know, these old sort of frame houses and gardens where these people brought all their country habits into town. I mean, they had hogs down there and raised all their own food.
It really is like a slice of far-out country, but right in the middle, right in the city.
Yeah, and much of those original structures are, in fact, still there. I mean, the Wool Mills had its own school. They had their own store. The mill provided the workers with insurance, with food. In a way, it was sort of almost a utopian community in certain regards. Not to say that people didn't work. I mean, they were on their feet for 12 hours a day, you know, making, you know, 10 cents an hour at one point.
And this is where a lot of the uniforms for the Confederacy were made, right here.
But more recently, the uniforms for LAPD, or back, you know, 1893, the uniforms for the Chicago World's Fair, uniforms for West Point were made there until late 1950s.
And for folks who don't know, this is down along the Ravana River. And what's the name of the park there? Is it Riverside Park?
Well, they've changed the name. Skunk Park, Ravana Park, a couple of different names.
And if you get on Market Street and just head east, you'll run right into the Woolen Mills neighborhood.
Indeed.
Now, Bill, what is the issue here? What has been making news here from the Woolen Mills? It looks like a lot of residents in the Woolen Mills are unhappy with the city planning department.
Well, we've been trying to establish a state historic district just because it's one residential mill villages were very important to Virginia, you know, back, you know, once upon a time, but there's not a single preserved case of a residential textile mill village. Charlottesville is so wonderfully different, and the state's very excited about it. So in the course of doing research on these old structures, we found a slight problem down in the Woolen Mills.
And the problem is what exactly?
Well, the problem has to do with a property called the Timberlake Branham property. Mr. Branham, James Branham, was a farmer. He did not work at the mill. He actually had a farm there at 1512 East Market Street. Had 10 children, many of whom, you know, passed in and out of the house at various times. One of his granddaughters lives here in town and is head of Meals on Wheels. In 1993, the city council, as part of designating 18 historic properties throughout the city of Charlottesville, looked at this property and designated this Timberlake Branham, the farm, as historic, just because it was the last and best preserved example of the kind of places that line the south side of Woolen Mills Road, a.k.a. Market Street, beginning in, you know, basically the 1880s.
So 14 years ago, we're talking with Bill Emery and Victoria Dunham of Woolen Mills. 14 years ago, the city says this farm is historic, and meaning then we want to preserve it, we want to protect it. And it wasn't just the house, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't just the house they were saying was historic. It was the farm. It was
right, the whole thing. I mean, in the same way that you wouldn't take Monticello and build a you know, sort of an amusement park around it, they felt that the texture, the fabric of history was represented well by this house and 7 acres. And they were concerned about how the land would be developed, so they put a Board of Architectural Review oversight over the whole thing. Now, of course, it didn't mean that it couldn't be developed. It just meant that when it was developed,
you had to go to the
BAR and you know, basically get their guidance.
Right. Victoria, what happened then? It sounds great. You know, we're all for preserving our historic sites in the city. It's one thing that makes this place so beautiful is that we as a community value these older properties, and mm-hmm. Washington or Jefferson doesn't have to sleep there for us to know that mm-hmm. this should be saved for our grandchildren. This is part of the historic fabric of the community. So that's 1993. What happened since?
Well, ideally, it would have remained an individually protected property, and, of course, we maintain that it still is. But in after the property was bought by the present owner, the lot was subdivided. And if you know your zoning law, you know that subdivision does not alter zoning. And so we discovered that when that after the 2003 zoning ordinance was passed, the zoning administrator for the city of Charlottesville maintained that only a small portion of it retained its protected status precisely because it had been subdivided. So we've been trying ever since to you know, get this taking by typo overturned.
And what exactly does that mean, taking by typo? And just to clarify, when you say something is subdivided, if you got a 7-acre historic farm that's protected by the Board of Architectural Review, and you, for example, split it in half, and you have the house with a lawn, and you have this other big field over here, you're saying then that that field, even though there's no house on it, is still protected. It's still part of that larger historically protected fabric. But the city of Charlottesville is saying, no, that's not the case.
Well, the city of Charlottesville is saying that that's not the case because of a typo. They're not saying that that's that they passed a zoning ordinance saying that only the parcels around houses would be protected. They're saying because of a typo, a typographical error, that when the zoning ordinance was passed in 2003, and this is admittedly complicated, that because they left off some of the parcel numbers on a list when they passed the zoning ordinance inadvertently, and this was a mistake, that now that's what's done is done. And, you know, we're maintaining that, as Bill pointed out, that because the property was developed on and can be developed on, that this is not, it's not a bad thing to have it be and continue to be an individually protected property. And when, you know, the grandkids of the people that live there scattered their mother's ashes behind the house, it was with the full knowledge that this was protected property. There's so much evidence to show that it is protected still to this day. And so that's what we're doing. We're trying to, we're just the little people. We don't have a financial dog in this hunt. We're just trying to have the justice done to the property that it deserves.
And this is your neighborhood. I mean, this is where you are raising your children. So
this is our neighborhood, but I would say very strongly that if I found out that this happened in another neighborhood, as someone that believes in historic preservation, I would absolutely go to bat. And that's what we have found out, that people from all over Charlottesville, from all over the state and around the country are interested in this story and are going to bat, because it says something to all of us. What if a mistake is made by the government and they won't fix it? What if the onus is on the little people to try and fix it?
Bill Emery and Victoria Dunham from the Woolen Mills neighborhood. Has the city, Victoria, have they said, yeah, we screwed up, this was a mistake?
Yes.
They have said that publicly?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what's been the reaction in the Woolen Mills?
Well, fix it. Preferably the city will fix it. And that's what we would prefer, that they just, you know, we tried to keep this, you know, very quiet and work with the city in order to get them to sort of step up and do what needs to be done.
The most alarming thing about this to me personally, just speaking for myself, is that there can be this error, literally a typo, literally leaving some numbers off of a long list of numbers that can really affect what your neighborhood's going to look like, change the zoning, basically. And yet there was never a meeting. There was never a public hearing. No. They never asked for public input, and the zoning was changed. And, you know, this can happen. It happened in Woolen Mills. It can happen anywhere. It can happen in my neighborhood. It can happen in your neighborhood, city, county. It doesn't matter.
And what are the odds that this is the only place this has happened? If the odds are good, it's happened other places.
Bill, what is the very latest? What's going on? Bring us even more up to date about what's been done since the city has said, yeah, you know, we screwed up there. We sort of messed that up. What's happening now?
Well, you know, a large question we're confronted with is, you know, what is our forum? And how can city mistakes be addressed? You know, where's the due process? Now, you know, I wish that the telephone would ring and it would be a couple of people in city council saying we can fix this next week. Because, you know, essentially this was rezoned by NDS. It was rezoned by a typographic error and omission on a document. Council could sit down next week. They could put it on the agenda and they could fix this. But, you know, I'm listening for the phone. I don't know. Do you hear it ringing in the headphones? I'm
not sure. 977-1070 is the phone number. So far, have you asked members of city council explicitly, can you put this on the agenda?
No, not yet. Because really, it hadn't been proper yet to ask them. We went through this whole, we were directed by the city, as much direction as they have given us, was to say that the BZA, the Board of Zoning Appeals, was our proper forum to take this matter to. And Kevin O'Halloran there, the chairman, was absolutely wonderful. I mean, he did a very considered job on this. It was so complicated. Usually they deal with, you know, questions like, can I put my tool shed, you know, 3 feet from the side of the yard? So this was more complicated. The lawyers for the landowners, you know, filed like a 45-page brief. And so they had to sit back and, you know, go through all the paperwork. They had one meeting back in April. They had a second meeting in May, at which point their independent counsel, and this is the first time that the Board of Zoning Appeals has ever had to resort to hiring independent counsel. Their independent counsel suggested that, so here's this zoning ordinance that has the typo in it. The independent counsel said, basically, you can't be concerned with whether there's a typo in that zoning ordinance. You just have to look at the plain language. You have to read the ordinance. So, you know, if it's...
Ignore the mistake? Is that the lawyer's advice?
Well, if it's made out of bunkum, but it says meat on the front, then it's, you know, okay to eat. And so, I mean, they essentially... I mean, it was good advice because basically it throws it back to city council where it should be. Or... city council failing in that, it throws it back to the circuit court. But, you know, as residents of the city of Charlottesville and as very, you know, sort of, sort of beaten down taxpayers, we really don't feel that correcting the city's mistakes, that is our responsibility. We'd be happy to take it to circuit court. You know, if you'd like to make a donation towards the legal expense for circuit court, the phones are open.
But what's also interesting is that city taxpayers are paying as well for this independent counsel. I mean, the city had to hire a lawyer to look at this.
Well, you know, actually, they had a really nice offer from UVA, from John Cannon, who you had on your show, I think, the EPA guy, and Jim Ryan, I think. But they didn't want to take the pro bono advice because
we want to pay.
Basically, the lawyer for the city and the lawyer for the landowners objected to those people helping out for free.
Oh gosh! So the city had to pay then. The city taxpayers had to pay, even though there was an offer for pro bono. Counsel.
And I think they probably, you know, they got what they paid for, which was, you know, a new venue, not the BZA.
Victoria Dunham and Bill Emery of the Historic Woolen Mills Neighborhood, online at historicwoolenmills.org. Keep us posted about this. We'll have you in again to keep us posted, and we'll, of course, be following this as it moves forward. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.